Now we wait at Radio Rewind. Now we wait at Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse. Independent. Yours.
Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Makassa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you.
This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, CJSF.ca, streaming worldwide. Today, you are going to hear our continuation of International Women's Month with the theme, Breaking Bias. The biases that you're going to hear about today is biased against the holistic health modalities, some of the touch therapies, the sense of smell. So I'm going to take you right into that discussion right now, which was recorded from Powered by Age podcast. Good afternoon and welcome to Powered by Age, Canada's longest running Powered by Age, Powered by Seniors program. Today, we are continuing our celebration of Women's History Month, Break the Bias. We're doing Breaking the Bias Against Embracing Holistic Health as a valuable form of health. We have two special guests today. One is going to increase your sense about sense, and the other is going to use a healing poem to talk about healing through poetry. So, I am Charlotte Farrell, the host. I acknowledge that our work takes place on the unceded properties of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish people. We stand with them in knowing that a reconciliation will come within our lifetimes. What we usually do at the beginning is have people that are here just briefly introduce themselves, and then we'll go on to introducing our special guest and hearing the presentations that they have for us. So, I'm going just across the way, my top line is, and say Prafulla.
Hi, my name is Prafulla Vyas, and I live in Milton, and I'm really enjoying this group, and I'm so glad that I joined it, because there are so many different interesting topics that keep coming up, and also I get so much encouragement to write stories and also to listen to really nice poems as well. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Chris?
Hi, everybody. My name is Chris Morrissey, and I'm happy to be back. I've had appointments. A year or so ago, I had an amputation of my right leg, so I've been going through a lot of appointments, and they just happened to fall on Thursdays in the afternoon. So I'm really happy to be back, and it's nice to see so many familiar faces and new faces as well. So thank you.
Happy to have you back. We missed you. Neil?
Yeah, my name is Neil Ryan. I'm a retired businessman who became a poet, and I write poems quite frequently, and I have one for today, later, if we have time. And basically, I'm a happy camper senior.
Happy camper adventurer. Delsa?
My name is Delsa. I come all the way from Mississauga. I am into yoga and meditation, and also into everything that is holistic. Holistic nutrition, holistic healing, I'm into it. So I'm so glad to be joining this group today. Thank you.
Girl, you're in the right place. Leslie?
Yes, I'm Leslie Hebert. Normally from New Westminster, just outside of Vancouver, but I am coming to you today from sunny Arizona.
Wow. Hey, nice. Must be nice there. Must be warm, right?
Yeah, it's in the 80s. Wow. And sunny. It's always sunny in the desert.
I couldn't get out because I am only 60 kilograms. I'm gonna be blown by the wind here.
Oh, starting boy.
After this morning, yeah, it's just too windy.
Willing?
Hello, everyone. I am Willing Watson, and I am a writer of daily affirmative thoughts for a church, Hillside International, and I am a religious science practitioner and emeritus, I've been that for 30 years now, and that's me in a nutshell right now.
Well,
I don't know why, what we're doing today, but I figured I'd get on the call anyway.
Well, we welcome you, and it almost everyone that's within our group, but sometimes there's a point where they make a presentation. Willing writes a lot about forgiveness and does workshops and counseling on forgiveness, and has a shirt, which I need to wear often because it says still and steady. Del?
Hi, my name is Del. I live on the Sunshine Coast. I am related to two people here. One, my sister, Ramona, and two is Rohanna, our presenter. We've been in writing groups together, and I've been on this group before and really liked it, and I'm just waiting until some other things ease up for me and I can attend more regularly. Because I really like the group. So thank you.
Oh, welcome. And now we hear Ramona, who's connected to two people.
Hi, everyone. It's really great and such a surprise to have these people joining us from Mississauga, Delsa and Prafula, and my sister from the Sunshine Coast. And of course, looking forward to listening to holistic healing from Rohanna, and I'm sorry, the other name escapes me.
Okay.
So hopefully at the end we would wind up with listening to an exciting poem by Neil once again. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, so now I'm going to introduce our two presenters, and we're going to increase your sense about scent with Rohanna Goodwin-Smith. She had an excellent career as an RN, but pursued her sense of importance in learning more about scents. She acquired clarity by certifying in alternative health modalities, touch modalities, but she found that she loved aromatherapy and has done everything from studying the history to being now a history-making author of this beautiful new book, Heart and Soul.
Nice.
And she will be speaking with us first, but I'll also give an introduction to Mary Yoshiri Nakano. She was introduced to someone else who works with the 411 Center, Judy Lynn, who teaches, Jane. We have two people that do ukulele, and Jane told her about the podcast we have on Saturdays and about Powered by Age. So she shared a poem on healing, and in talking about the healing, we'll hear of how her career as a licensed practical nurse for 16 years, mostly in pediatrics, just got to a point where she wanted to make a change, and she had a desire to produce different results through natural healing. And she went through many years of study, which involved her doing shiatsu, various oriental therapies, many Western modalities such as Swedish style massage. And she has two things in common with Bohanna, and that she has also done reflexology and aromatherapy. So we're going to have an interesting ride as we hear both presentations. Periodically, I'll give people an opportunity to ask a question, to make a comment, but we'll ask you as you make comments or questions to make them short, because we have a lot of good information to share. So Bohanna, welcome.
Thank you, Charlotte, for inviting me to be with all of you today. And I'm sorry, is it Shuma, the other woman giving the presentation?
Yoshimi
and I have more than reflexology in common, and we also both worked in pediatrics. Did you work in pediatrics?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we have lots in common. So I look forward to your presentation. One aspect of the aging process that I've come to appreciate recently is how I continue to learn about myself. And possibly this has something to do with the fact that our long-term memory becomes more acute as we get older. So as I was preparing this presentation, I realized how long in my life I've been maybe not necessarily a warrior, but a defender or an advocate for one cause or another, and particularly in the area of healthcare. I was born and raised in Toronto, Canada, and in looking back at my childhood in the 1940s and 50s, I realized that my parents, they were generally were Canadians, you know, they were generally pretty conservative and straight laced, but I've come to think of them as kind of the early New Agers. For example, when I was ill, I would have my, like a lot of us, would have my chest covered with Vicks VapoRub by my mother. And it's very interesting because I've done a healing therapy using the sense of smell, and more on the psychological level. And it's amazing how many of my clients expressed, especially, you know, with the smell of camphor, how they expressed loving memories of their mothers putting a Vicks VapoRub on their chest. So very rarely was there a negative memory of that. So I found that kind of interesting. But anyhow, I also had mustard plasters wrapped around my neck and not put on my chest. And if I had a fever, it was cooled down with cooling compresses. Also, my mother brought in an osteopath. So I have very fond memories of lying on my bed. I mean, I don't remember being sick in particular, but lying on my bed and this lovely, kindly woman sitting there kind of palpating my, you know, my chest and my back and my neck, and doing her therapy. So that's a very positive memory for me. I have no recollection of ever taking a medication, not even an aspirin, as a child. And even my parents, the only thing I recall my parents ever taking was my dad had a bit of an angry stomach, so he'd take an Alka-Seltzer once in a while. And I used to love that plop and fizz as he dropped the Alka-Seltzer and I'd take a little sip too from his glass. But my sister and I, I don't recall ever being in a doctor's office or in a hospital. But that era was prior to the big pharma, the big pharmaceutical giants kind of commandeering the medical, you know, the medical healthcare systems across North America. And it was also prior to the spraying of toxic pesticides, not simply across all of our farmlands, and it's still going on today, but also even in our communities, even on our even in our grass. You know, I'm talking about Roundup, which is, you know, has glyphosate, and so there's more and more thought, understanding today that much of our chronic illness, and 50% of both adults and children presently have a chronic illness, have at least one chronic illness. 50%. It was never like that up until the last maybe 20 or 30 years or so. So anyhow, with my beginning in this kind of unorthodox healthcare at home, I find it curious that I went on to pursue a career in nursing. But there wasn't as much choice for women in those days. However, in retrospect, I'm very grateful that I took that path because of many of the other areas that it's led me to. And it's also given me some credibility. Shortly after I became an RN in Toronto in the late 60s, I escaped with a friend. And we flew down to California, ended up in L.A., and we both got jobs at Cedars of Lebanon, now Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Hollywood, which was fun to write home about. And I just flourished being on the cusp of the New Age movement, the holistic health movement. It was just a very joyous time and free. So I felt so much freer down there. Excuse me, I do have to use notes. I'm not very good at talking from the top of my head here. Most of my experience was in the field of pediatrics. But I became uncomfortable after a while because of the invasive procedures and the heavy duty pharmaceuticals that I had to administer to these wee babies and children. And so I had moved up to San Francisco, and at that time, Kaiser Permanente Hospital was instigating a new, it was called mother-infant recovery program, where the mothers who came in to have babies never left, you know, they were never separated from their babies they were in labor, then they had birth, and then they recovered together and went to their rooms together. So I loved that work. And that, you know, kind of takes me into the mid 80s, and I contracted or developed chronic fatigue syndrome. And that at that time, chronic fatigue syndrome in the mid 80s was suddenly kind of huge. It was sort of an explosion, and nobody knew that much about it. But it did affect women, in particularly, and a lot of nurses and teachers were affected. So I stopped nursing, and with a lot of soul searching of where do I go next, I chose a more alternative and a more creative health lifestyle. I knew I had to start giving a little attention to my creative side. I did birth my second child at home. I took my children to homeopaths and naturopaths when they were ill, which was very rare. And also I found that just doing massage, just doing I didn't know reflexology then, but just rubbing their feet or a nice little back massage. So, and then, you know, they could relax, or anyone that you relax a little bit, and then the immune system can click in. And so, I definitely found that was beneficial. Over the years, when I attempted to share my alternative leanings with my medical colleagues, it was usually, you know, they kind of put up with me. They kind of tolerated me. But I usually was met with a little bit of disdain and you know, looked at as if I was coming from left field somehow. And I found it very disappointing that I mean, I didn't make many converts. I found it very disappointing that no one showed much interest in other approaches to health, and that offered more gentle and less toxic interventions. Then in my in the 1990s, the mid-1990s, in my early 50s, my life took an unexpected turn. I happened to be in a health food store. Now I'm in Vancouver. As you can tell, I've kind of moved along in my life. I was in Vancouver, and I happened to take a whiff of a little bit of lavender essential oil from a little brown bottle on a health food store shelf. And it just blew me away. I had it was like an olfactory, a smell epiphany. And the sniff was my first introduction to aromatherapy. I was drawn to it. I've always loved beautiful scents, and I was drawn to it like a bee is to nectar. It was just immediate. Possibly my appreciation of beautiful smells comes from the fact that my father was a baker, so I spent a lot of time in his bake shop amongst the wonderful aromas of his you know, his apple pies and cinnamon buns and so on and so forth. So I found my niche, and I immersed myself in the study of scent and healing as if it was a calling. And it truly did feel like a calling, and that's assurance that at any time in our lives we can still find our calling, you know, even if we're, I don't know, 90, you know. Before arriving in North America, aromatherapy was growing rapidly in Europe. And even medical doctors in France were writing prescriptions for essential oils for their patients. And by the time it arrived in North America, in maybe the late 80s, early 90s, even the nurses in England were actually taking essential oils into the hospital setting. So we were a little behind here. Shortly after that initial whiff of lavender, which is considered the Swiss Army knife of essential oils because it has so many healing benefits. Anyhow, shortly after that whiff, I happened to find a little ad in the paper for an aromatherapy course, which I signed up for immediately, studied hard, and became what we called at the time a registered aromatherapist, a registered aroma massage therapist, actually, was the designation. And I studied reflexology as well on the side, because most in England at that time, most of the nurses who were aromatherapists also did reflexology. However, alas, I have here once again, so I hung up my shingle expecting to save the world with my newfound wonderful therapy, and I came up against bias again. Aromatherapy is the only therapy that uses a sense of smell for health and healing reasons, and I get it, that it's understandable that it was hard for people to kind of get their heads around the fact that, I mean, they were used to bad smells, maybe bad smells in hospitals, or bad smells meant illness, but they certainly weren't used to the fact that smells could be healing, other than making perfumes and making you feel good. So there again, when I proudly announced that I was an aromatherapist, even my friends and family looked at me askance, like, oh, here she goes on another tangent. Charlotte, in your introduction, I on the page, I noticed that you said that I've broken a barrel of biases. Well, I haven't broken all the biases yet, but I certainly work hard on doing so. North Americans warm slowly to the fact that aromatic plants had therapeutic benefits, and not only on the physical level, but on the mental and the emotional and the spiritual level. However, the public's slow acceptance of this therapy needn't have been a surprise for me, because the sense of smell itself has a bias, you know, suffers from bias. As human beings, we've lost sight of the fact that throughout humanity's history, we've depended on not just the plants and healing plant matter of the earth, but also of the aromas of the natural world. And we actually have an intimate connection with many of these aromas in our deep psychology. Unfortunately, smell had fallen from grace when the Enlightenment arrived in the Western world, and also known as the Age of Reason. That was in the 17th century. And scientists and philosophers alike disparaged the sense of smell. They considered it to be vulgar, base, of little importance. And in fact, I mean, heaven forbid, it might excite the emotions. You know, that was something they didn't seem to want to deal with. Therefore, smell plummeted and to the bottom of the hierarchy of the senses for three centuries. As the bias continues, and the bias continues, for example, when most people are asked which of their senses, which of the five senses, sight, sound, smell, taste, and or touch, that they would relinquish if pressured, or if they had to, which would they relinquish? And the majority of people will choose smell, followed by touch, taste, sound, and sight. And so it was another decade and well into the new millennium before aromatherapy was given recognition and respect. And just to go back a bit, it's interesting because the majority of people that would, and I can understand this, you know, smell, you know, we think we could give that up, but smell and taste are, if you lose your sense of smell, you lose your sense of taste. So therefore, if you give up the sense of smell, you're actually giving up two of your senses. And as we learned with the pandemic, aromatherapy has become mainstream by now, but with countless numbers of people during the pandemic losing their sense of smell, it actually caused a huge resurgence in the interest in the sense of smell. People that had it were desperate. They were meeting up in online with other people that were suffering from the same thing, because across the world on social media, because they were all experiencing without their sense of smell a disconnection. They experienced angst, anger, and depression. So there was a New York Times podcast in January of 2021 called The Forgotten Sense. And I just want to take a quote, read a quote from that podcast. And it said that COVID-19 arrived in a world that had spent far too long not taking the sense of smell seriously. So hooray, you know, we're getting more attention. And obviously, as you can tell, I take it pretty seriously. For 25 years, I've been rooted in my dedication to this beautiful healing modality.